We gather today in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord, cleanse our hearts from sin.
And make us pure within.
Beloved of God, we are called to confess our sins to the Lord. And so let us begin by confessing in the silence of our hearts. We confess together our sinfulness before Almighty God. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus and admit that I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins and the places where I have erred. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that your Son died on the cross for me to save me. Help me by the power of your Holy Spirit to live every day in a way that pleases you. And when I fail, lead me back to you again. Lord, thank you for the sure and certain promise of eternal life with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. So those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have called us to be and make disciples. We ask you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom and the strength to be fishers of men. Renew us through this time of worship in the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power.
Good morning. In his Great Commission, our Lord Jesus Christ gave us clear instructions on how to carry on his ministry and spread it throughout the world. At the same time, he attaches one of the greatest promises to be with us always. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age." The word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please be seated. All right, Pastor David already warned you, if my voice is a little deeper today, it's not because there's so much gravitas in my sermon, it's because I'm a little under the cedar. So, bear with me. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers, here I stand, first official preaching assignment as your new pastor. And it strikes me as a little bit funny that my opening act is actually closing down this sermon series, I Am With You. But I suppose that makes sense, for all things must have a beginning and an end. That is the way of the world, right? The way of the world indeed, but is it also the way of God? Daniel already kind of gave it away. Do all things truly come to an end? Is everything really vanity, as the preacher insists in Ecclesiastes? He writes, all go to one place, all are from the dust, and all turn to dust again. And he advises, there's nothing better than that all should just enjoy their work, for that is their lot, and who can bring them to see what will be after them? Are we nothing more than dust that returns to dust, as we will be reminded next Wednesday when we begin our Lenten journey? Let us explore that question by turning to our gospel text for today. A wonderful text, by the way, one of the most quoted texts in Scripture and one of the most well-known passages in all of it. We're in Matthew 28, the final chapter of the gospel. And since we're reflecting on conclusions and finality, on endings, it seems fitting that even the gospel books themselves must stop somewhere. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Now the first question that comes to mind is obvious. Why only 11? Aren't there 12? Well, or maybe it's not really an obvious question, since we all know the tragic story of Judas, who met his end in the potter's field after betraying Jesus. Once again, we are confronted with this unsettling reality. Even being a personal disciple of Jesus can collapse in failure. It seems even faith itself can and did end in this case. But it continues. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now the worship part, that makes total sense. If the one you believe to be the Messiah has risen from the dead, invited you to touch his wounds, and has eaten with you, and now stands before you, then worship is the only reasonable response. But doubt? What is left to doubt when you see with your own eyes? And yet, even here, faith falters. Even here, confidence wavers. Is nothing sacred? Here stands the risen Christ, death defeated, the grave undone, and still there's doubt? Is there no end to man's folly? Has Jesus Christ crossed the final boundary of death itself only to find his disciples hesitating at the edge of belief? And if these disciples, trained by Jesus himself, eyewitnesses of the resurrection, if they can waver, what hope is there for sinners like me, who doubt far more often than I would ever admit? I don't know, but perhaps Jesus does. Let us see. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What a passage. You could spend weeks unpacking it. In fact, one could probably have a whole sermon series just about that little passage. Calling, baptism, the Holy Trinity, authority, sovereignty of God, teaching, discipleship, it's all in those few verses. It is rightly called the Great Commission. But notice something striking. Jesus never addresses their doubt. Not because doubt doesn't matter, but because their weakness does not cancel his promise. He is the Good Shepherd. He knows his sheep. These disciples, often slow, often confused, often fearful, just like us, these disciples have been this way from the beginning. and yet he loves them still. And so he gives them their commission. Because he knows what is coming. He knows about the Holy Spirit descending upon them. He knows they will grow, and they will stumble, and then they will grow again. And he knows they will arrive, not by their own strength, but in the end, by God's faithfulness. Can I have a slide? And then Jesus closes the gospel with these words. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. There it is. The answer we've been looking for, and it seems pretty clear. Do all things end? Well, apparently, yes. Even here, Jesus places a boundary. He's with us always till the end of the age. So at this point, you might want to ask me, Pastor Tobias, why all the build-up? The answer is right there. You read it to us right in the beginning. Jesus says so himself. There is an end to everything, right? Or, give me a moment to redeem myself, could there be more here than we first noticed? Because listen closely. I am with you always until the end. Always until the end. That's a contradiction. It sounds contradictory to me. And here I must make a confession. I've led you just a little bit astray, confused you a little bit on purpose, not maliciously, but in order to play a little theological parlor trick on you, with good intentions and in order to make a point, because I myself was also a little confused. And I asked myself that question, how does always fit in with till the end? And when pastors get confused, we do the most Lutheran thing possible. We go back to the original text, the Greek. And here we find one important word, aion. Aion can mean age, till the end of the age, yes. But its primary meaning is far richer. It means eternity, forever, everlasting. So age needs to be understood more in the sense of maybe like an age and a day, which is what we, you and I, say if we mean forever, right? I've waited for an age and a day. I've waited forever for you. Like we use that interchangeably. Boy, all these word plays in a foreign language. I hope you appreciate the effort. Anyways, now that we know the true meaning of aion, the picture changes. Do all things end? In this world, yes. Nations rise, nations fall. Bodies weaken, lives conclude. Even faith can tremble and flicker. But life with Christ does not end. Your faith, that will waver. You and I, we will doubt. You will fall short. You will be painfully aware that you do not deserve eternal life with God. And yet, you will receive it, because your eternity does not rest on the strength of your faith, but on the promise of Christ, who gives you that faith, spoken into you through his words, which you've heard today, put on you in the water of your baptism, and placed into your hands and into your mouth in bread and wine when you take communion. No doubt of yours can drive away Jesus. He sees the faith that God himself has planted in you. Maybe it's a bright light. Maybe it's the tiniest flickering candle, barely more than a glow. He sees it. And so he will find you, and he will hold you, and he will carry you into that eternity where he will be with you forever. And there you will shine in his glory, brighter and hotter than the sun. Amen.
Amen.
Let us sing the song of the day.
Reminder that the words in the bulletin are off, so either use your hymnal 499 or on screen. I love her energy when she brings that offering up. Isn't that? If we all had that same energy as we go out into the world and share the good news of Christ, this world would be different. Amen to that. So let's join and give thanksgiving with our offertory and all the gifts that God gives us. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join together confessing our faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have chosen us to be your people despite our sin and brokenness. You have called us into your kingdom and you have charged us to make disciples of all nations. Lord, bless your church throughout the world with your Holy Spirit as we seek to follow your call faithfully. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you promised to be with us forever through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your Holy Spirit. We're not worthy of this amazing promise, and yet you give it freely of your amazing grace. Help us to remember your presence throughout our lives and to remember the cost of this promise, the cross of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we ask you especially to bless with your healing presence those who need you most, those who are sick or hospitalized. This last week especially, we pray for Ruth Bumpus, Iris Burr, Betty Ellerbrock, and Patsy Stevens, for those in hospice care, Emma Hirschfield and Belle Petmakey, and Lord, our sympathy as well to the family of Kermit Feuge as they celebrated his life, and for all who continue to grieve, Lord. And for all others who remain unnamed but are held in the treasure of our hearts. Grant them your grace and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. And all that's been left unsaid and all that rests in our hearts, we place now before you in the words you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing song.
I will.
Thank you for worshiping with us again today. Just a couple of reminders here. We've got our prayer minister, Kathy's up here at the altar rail. If anybody would like to have a prayer or need a prayer for anything that's troubling you or anything that you're celebrating as well, either end of those things. Also, there's a sign up. I know it's like 3 weeks away, but it's coming. The spring tea, that's March 8th. So if you'd like to sign up, there will be a table out up front for that. Big event coming up. Lots of other things coming up as well. So just please note all those things in your bulletin or on the flyers back in the back. We are here to go now out into the world. So the worship's now ended.
And the service begins.
We leave to live out God's call.
To save the lost and strengthen the saved.
May we go to be and make disciples.
Blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Remember this promise. He is with you always.
Even until the end of time.
May God bless your new week. Amen.